Today's podcast is brought to you by the Herzog Foundation.
We are at the beautiful Trump Golf Course in Jupiter, Florida today, and we have an incredibly special show because it is the 250th episode of the Moms for America podcast right alongside America's 250th celebration. So we've got an incredible guest. Let me tell you about her. She's a famous mom. She's a TV host. She's a political strategist, and she just happens to be the daughter-in-law of the President of the United States. You might have guessed who it is. All right, stay with us because we've got a lot to talk about next.
This is the Moms for America podcast. Each week, leaders and everyday champions tell personal stories, share advice, and tackle the issues most important to moms.
Oh my God. Great. How are you?
All right. She's here. The 250th episode guest, Lara Trump.
Wow. What an honor.
Thank you. Isn't this so fun? Thank you for coming.
Absolutely. No, it's my honor, truly. to be the 250th on America's 250th birthday. What's better? Amazing.
I know. And busy day so far. You said you were at six different things, dropping off kids.
You know, we try to get it all in. It's how we do it as moms. They say if you want something done, give it to a busy mom. And Absolutely. They're right in that. So yeah, we're just rolling.
Okay. Before we get started and chit-chat a bit, we do this little thing sometimes.
Oh my gosh,
and it's called, These Are My Favorite Things.
Stop, you actually have my favorite things in there. Someone told you.
Oh, well, we did a little research.
Awesome.
What do you think here?
First of all, this is so embarrassing. I don't even want to talk about it. Don't tell Bobby Kennedy about this. Right. These we could probably tell him about.
Okay.
That's amazing. Oh my gosh.
What else you have in there?
I've got a beautiful candle, let's see. Amber, I love amber smells.
Oh, good. So we Lovely. Heard that you love to have a candle, relax
yes.
a little bit.
Fantastic.
You love that coffee. That's an instant coffee.
Instant coffee. We're always in a hurry. We gotta go.
All right. Then these are for your kids.
Well, they'll take them. I can tell you that much.
These are for the kids.
That's amazing. And then what else do we have here?
That's for the dogs.
Oh my gosh, that's so sweet.
Big
Thank
dog
you.
Lover. We've got the gourmet doggy biscuits.
Oh, and then my
for working out.
Got to stay hydrated.
Yes.
A nice little Maha, no plastic.
Uh-huh.
Beautiful.
Moms for America hat.
Got it. I'm ready to go. What is this one?
Moms for America bag.
Oh, and I got a shirt.
Oh, yeah. Show them the shirt.
Let's see. Hold on. It's a one-handed technique here. It's very
Moms
specific.
Moms for America.
There we are. Thank you. You're
so diverse. I mean, we've got the doggies, we've got the kids, we've got the coffee, we've got the workout.
A lot of coffee. You got to do a lot of coffee. That's beautiful. Thank you so much.
So, and then for the kids, I mean, just tell them Aunt Deb.
Yeah, well, they'll go for that. Anything, any candy they can get, which is their favorite thing when they visit Grandpa. Is the candy.
That's what you were saying. You were saying when they go to the White House, it's just like trick or treat.
Yeah, well, and he's got the specific like presidential M&Ms, and they think that that means that they are just, it's like a free for all. They could just take, and mom's not going to say anything. Mom always says something, but grandpa's always like, just take it, kids.
Yeah. Well, I know it's so tough being a parent now with all of the sugar and everything. Ugh. And I know, all right, well, let's start. How's the family? How is Eric? How are the kids? Can you give us some updates?
Yeah, I mean, we're great. Obviously, Eric and I just got back from a trip with the president to China, which was incredible. But as a mom, I was slightly reluctant to go. It was 4 days, you know, to be away from the kids on the other side of the earth.
Yeah, that's which nerve-wracking.
Is a little scary as a mom. Yeah. But yeah, we had a great trip and the kids are good. We're wrapping up the school year here, so I'm going to soon have a second and a third grader. My kids are first and second grade now.
Can you believe
it? But it's just crazy. That's how life goes. We currently have we have Ben and Betty, our two dogs, and then
those are beagles?
Betty's a beagle. Ben is like a bigger hound mix, and I brought home a dog from Big Dog Ranch to foster Eric Trump.
Yeah.
This weekend. So we got three dogs at the house right now, which I love.
All right. Good. Well, since you're bringing up the whole dog thing, let's talk about that a little bit. So how many dogs does Eric have to say to you, no more than two? Would you have 10? How far does it go?
Oh, my God. I feel like there's no number that you could tell me, and I'd be like, that's too many. So I love them. Look, I have always been an animal lover, especially dogs. I just think that they're such a gift. And, you know, whenever you kind of find yourself in a position, like I think we have, it's hard sometimes to know who wants to be around you for the right reasons, to be honest. And so when you have a dog, they don't care. They don't care what your last name is.
They are man's best friend, clearly.
They don't care what kind of, you know, crazy stuff people say about you. They are there to love you. And when you come home, they're excited and it's the best. So I think at this point, Eric has sort of relegated himself to the fact that I'm this crazy dog lady wife of his that's going to show up every now and again with just a random dog like I did this weekend. And he was like, are you kidding me? But he secretly loves it, I think.
Sure. I saw your post on Instagram with your daughter.
Yes.
And the beagles.
Yes.
And let's talk about that really quick because Lori Simmons, love her, love the
Amazing.
Work that they're doing. You're on their board.
Yes.
Rescuing how many beagles?
So there are 2,000 beagles who were at this facility, Ridgeland Farm. And they basically breed and raise dogs for animal testing. Animal testing is something that is obviously very cruel.
Wow.
You essentially torture these animals. And the reality is we don't actually need to be testing on animals. We are so far past in our advancement. We have, you know, AI modeling we can use. We can grow organs to a certain extent, or things that mimic organs that show you how something would react in the human body far better than you can ever tell from a dog.
Right.
They use beagles specifically in animal testing because they have such a happy, pleasant disposition. They don't fight back. They're very forgiving. And so sadly, they've become the dog of choice for testing. So this facility had quite a few violations, and there was a large push from a lot of people. There were so many people involved in this. I just played a very small role, but we were able to get 1,500 of them out, and the 500 that are left are hopefully by the end of summer going to also go to new homes. And the great news is all of these dogs have applications in. People want these dogs, so they're gonna go to great homes. They're gonna have a great rest of their life. And so it was such a Herculean effort that, you know, it really just shows you how powerful things can be and how you can utilize social media for good,
for good
and not
right.
bad, you know, in a situation like this.
So let's talk about Mother of Influence Award. This February, we gave Lara the Mother of Influence Award.
Yes.
So deserving.
Thank
not
you.
Only are you a great influencer in your home, but in America. When you look kind of at your life now and the journey that God has put you on, I mean, I'm sure when you met Eric, this was not anything that you ever thought would happen. Is it kind of amazing to think of the blessings and where you are now?
Oh my gosh.
So influential. You are a mother of influence.
That's so nice. Well, first of all, I was so touched and so honored to get that award. Thank you very much. Once I became a mom, the fight in me to ensure the future of this country amplified 10 billion fold. Because it's not even about any of us in this room, folks. It's about our children's children, and the future of this great country, the greatest country on earth. You know, it's funny because I could never have predicted, and nothing could ever have prepared me for any of this. But I have just tried to stay true to myself. I've always prayed about every decision I've ever made. Mm-hmm. I've always tried to follow my heart and my gut. And to be honest, I feel like I have taken oftentimes the more challenging path, but that's the path I've always felt like God has sort of led me down. For example, when my father-in-law called me to ask me to run for co-chair of the party, I said, are you kidding me? No, this is a huge election.
Probably the most controversial, impactful election to ever in decades.
So to consider me for that position at that time, I was honestly, it was like, I don't want to do this. But I prayed about it and I really thought long and hard about it. And obviously I had a little help from my father-in-law who was like, it's gotta be you.
Right. Well, he loves you. You can.
We have a very special relationship,
sure,
but I feel so blessed to have been able to experience the things that I have, to have been, you know, kind of on the front row of watching history, and it's been incredible. So no, growing up as a girl in North Carolina, going to public school my whole life, I never could have imagined being part of any of this. It's been truly a blessing.
And your family must be so proud of it. Your mom, your family, everybody must be like, Laura, look what you have landed.
I hope so. Look, I always want to be like, that's kind of the pinnacle of everything, right? Is to represent your family well. Yeah. And whether it's the Trump family or my parents and my brother, who all still live in North Carolina. I just want to represent them and Wilmington, my hometown, well. And yeah, it's been really amazing. And I hope they're proud. That's what I'm trying to do every day.
They sure are. Speaking about family and being a mom, you mentioned from this age, and I've heard you say this in other interviews, that the title of mom is the most precious title in the world. Did you know that you wanted to have children? Did you always want to be a mom? Did you know how many? Or were you nervous? I think I heard that you were a little nervous about becoming a mom.
Eric had to push me a little, I'll be really honest. So it's funny because I look at where we are right now with kind of our younger generation, and I'm so grateful that we have powerful figures like Erica Kirk, like Charlie Kirk, who we miss so dearly, who really put family at the forefront of everything and talked about the fact that really your most important job you'll ever have is to be a parent.
Absolutely.
Because there was this huge push, I feel like, for my generation of young women to try to convince us that you shouldn't want to have a family. You shouldn't want to become a mother. You should really focus on yourself, focus on your career.
It's a ball and chain.
Yeah,
don't get married.
Exactly. Yeah. The kind of feminist movement and that ideology, I really feel like seeped into the culture, especially of my generation. And so I found myself, when Eric and I got married, kind of saying, well, I don't know, I'm a little nervous to have kids because what happens to me? How does this work?
Right.
And Eric was like, look, we both know we want to have kids, because to answer your other question, yes, of course. I mean, I don't know that you could say you have a completely fulfilling life if you aren't kind of doing what God put you on earth to do, right? So he had to kind of push me, and he was like, we got to go. We got to work on these kids.
We got to get going on this.
And so, yeah, we've been obviously blessed with two kids. Now, I always wanted two because I'm one of two.
Okay.
Eric would tell you he would have about 10 more kids right now if possible.
Is there any hope? I mean, Eric, what's the deal? Anything?
Don't talk to him about it because he's still pushing on it. I mean, look, our kids are 6 and 8. I feel like we're in a great spot.
You are.
But
another two would be fine. Okay, whatever. I'll let you decide.
Thank you. No. No, look, I have two happy, healthy kids.
They're beautiful.
And I feel you know, God has put in front of me what he intends for me. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. And what a blessing. I mean, they're adorable. Thank and they're you. Keeping you busy.
They sure are. As every mom.
Yeah.
It's just that in and of itself is just full-blown chaos. And I love every single second of it.
I know.
You
so
know,
special.
I try to, no matter what happens in my day, I was telling you before we sat down, the only free time I got in my day today was basically to drop off and pick up from school. Because I try to make that time. It's an hour on either end. It kind of like a round trip becomes.
Mm-hmm.
It's so important to me because that's time I get to spend one-on-one with my kids. And I feel like there's something special about that time in the car with the kids.
Absolutely.
And you don't get it elsewhere because they're distracted and you're distracted and there's stuff going on. So I always try to do that if I can.
And I remember when we were scheduling the Mother of Influence Award with you, your assistant, or I don't know what Darren's title is. He's so wonderful,
Darren's
by the way.
He does it all.
He does it all. The man of all, right? Let him know that one.
Yeah.
He said, listen, if you could put Laura a little bit earlier, she really likes to pick up her kids from school, after school. And we were like, oh, zip right to the top. And that
so
is.
Nice.
And as moms, we have to guard those moments in those times because it's car time. My sister-in-law was just talking about the same thing. That's where you can pray with them. You talk through their day. They kind of get ready. And there's something, I think, very comforting about mom in the beginning of the day, at the end of the day, because they have so much to say, you know, and they have so many questions.
Yeah.
So good for you, mom.
Let's
talk about when you met Eric. Is it true you didn't know he was a Trump? I mean,
I didn't even know Eric Trump existed. No. I don't think most people did. We met in 2008.
Right.
And this was Eric shortly thereafter, I'm going to say a year or two after that, you know, started making appearances on The Apprentice. And so he probably got a little more notoriety then. I had no idea. that a man named Eric Trump even existed. And we were just out with friends in Manhattan, kind of like, when does that work out? When do you just run into your future right there? But I did, and he did. And I'll be honest, the first thing I noticed, he was with a group of guys, and I was with, you know, some girls. And he was the tallest of the group of guys.
So that was good. You're like, hmm.
As you probably saw when I walked in, if I got heels on, I am probably like 6'2". So with the shoes on, I'm 5'11", otherwise. But yeah, I said, well, this could work out. This guy's pretty tall. Let's see what happens here.
And it sure did. That was it. After the first, when you met, then he did some follow-up.
It took us a while to go on a first date. We were both very busy. I mean, I guess it was kind of a prelude to what was going to happen in our lives. We were both I had a couple different jobs. I was in culinary school at the same time. Eric had just started at the Trump Organization and was really trying to prove his kind of value there and that he really had what it took. Because I'll be honest, if he didn't, I can guarantee you the president would not have had him in any sort of a management role.
Look at that.
So he was traveling around the world, and he would get, one time he got stuck overseas, and then one time I was sick, or then I had to work over. It was just 3 months. We made plans every couple of weeks, and then one of us would have to cancel. But when we finally sat down for that first date, we did not order a single bit of food for 4 hours.
Wow.
Because we were so engrossed in conversation.
Mm, could have been love at first sight then.
If you ask him,
love at first sit, I should say,
because we sat for a while, and it was great. We had such a great connection and conversation, and I was very impressed immediately by sort of how normal he seemed. Because once I figured out who he was, I kind of sadly made a judgment on that, and I probably shouldn't have in retrospect. But he really impressed me with his kind of down to earth nature and a lot that he told me. So it's been. Forever
it's been
since
quite a
then.
Ride. So, who were you a voting Republican? I don't know any of this about you. Were you involved in politics at all? I mean, because life is obviously different post-Trumps with you.
Yes, yes, so very different. Well, I don't think really any of us in our family were. And I actually think the president was a registered Democrat for a long time, right? I grew up in a conservative family, for sure. I knew my parents had always voted Republican, and I remember in the elections I had, you know, kind of been around to vote in prior to meeting Eric, which I think it was two elections. I remember my parents kind of actively saying, well, here's who we're going to vote for. Mm-hmm. We hope that you'll vote the same way. There was no pressure, but I had voted Republican. But no, I don't think any of us were really involved politically on any front, nor did we really think that we were going to be until a couple of days before the famous Golden Escalator ride. And then here we are. Yeah.
Wow. Can you imagine that? Okay. And before we go to that one, because I do want to talk about that, with you and Eric, who would be more spontaneous, you or him?
I'm going to say me.
Me. Okay.
Yeah.
More organized.
Eric would say him, although I will say that I'm a very close second, but if you go in our garage, nothing is out of place, and that's all Eric Trump.
Are you complete opposites in many
ways,
or
no,
very
actually,
similar?
We're both kind of neat freaks, and everything has to be, you know, organized and put away, and I like a nice clean aesthetic, but he is meticulous with it, and I actually really appreciate that.
Okay, so it works.
It works very well.
Okay, well, as long as could you imagine the other way? Like, one's messy, one's
no.
Right.
And now every now and again, you know, it's hard with kids. Every parent knows this. What Eric doesn't see is that these kids come in from school and they just dump their stuff on the counter.
Sure they do.
And then we've got homework out over here and snacks out over here and a dog jumping over here. And then he comes in and he's like, wow, there's all this stuff. We got to clean up. So every now and again, he'll come in and just kind of like lose it. And then we do like an ultra clean out, like a purge of all the stuff. And the kids get involved in it too, and we get everything reset so that we're perfect in the house. But
for another day.
That's life.
Yeah.
Life
then
is
the
messy
next
sometimes.
It is life.
How it goes
sometimes.
When you come home from school.
All right. What about when you met the family for the first time? That had to be, were you intimidated? Was it a little bit of stress? What was the first family meeting?
Well, I mean, think about meeting anyone who might be your future in-law. That
right.
is intimidating.
That's number one, right.
Yeah, enough. When their last name is Trump, that is, the ante is upped exponentially, right? That is another
yes.
level. I did not know when I met my father-in-law that I was actually about to meet Donald Trump. Eric had told me that we were going to a tennis tournament. He was like, oh, you want to go watch some tennis? So we went to the U.S. Open, which is, you know, in Queens, Arthur Ashe Stadium. And he picked me up at my apartment, and we drove. And I was like, oh, you have, like, a special parking spot here. Okay, this is different. I thought we're sitting in, like, bleacher seats, okay? Because that's what I'm, the kind of tennis I'm used to.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't even know if I'd gone to any sort of formal tennis event. But we then went up an elevator, and we came out on the suite level, and I was like, okay, this is very nice. And then the door opened, and there's Donald Trump, and there's Melania Trump, and I was like, oh my God, your dad is here, and you didn't even tell me. It was kind of good, because I didn't have time to get all worked up and freaked out about it, but I immediately was slightly panicked. But I'll tell you, anyone who meets Donald Trump will tell you that he's very disarming, and he almost immediately can put people at ease because he just talks to you like a normal person. And we sat down and we kind of did the small talk of where I'm from, what I'm doing, what my, you know, future looks like, what all the things, my family. And then he immediately goes, you know what? I'm gonna get an ice cream. Do you like ice cream? And I was like, oh my God, I do. We both like ice cream. Like, this is gonna be okay. He got me an ice cream. We were all good. Just, I was like, all right, we're gonna have some ice cream. We're all set here. I don't need to be nervous. And then I remember meeting Eric's mom and his sister, and, you know, everybody was very welcoming, actually, for me to the family. And I found that, I don't know why it surprised me, but, you know, I feel like this is a group of people who was kind of in the circle of who to know in New York City. And they had, you know, they knew all the people. And here I was, this girl who had driven herself up from North Carolina to go to culinary school. Again, working multiple jobs, literally trying to make it in New York, and they treated me like from the beginning. I was one of their own, and so it's why I'm incredibly loyal to this family. They've always been wonderful to me.
Hi, moms. I'm excited to share some news about our new sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. We know you're passionate about raising patriots and empowering your children with the best education possible. And the Herzog Foundation shares that passion. They're dedicated to promoting liberty through education freedom and helping parents like you choose the best educational path. They offer a powerhouse of resources designed to support families and schools alike. Whether you're ready to dive in headfirst to the world of education, or simply looking for more ways to empower your child's learning. From free training events to their must-read online publication, The Lion, they're committed to keeping you informed about what's happening in education. Also, if you've ever thought, moms, about starting your own Christian school or co-op, their School Box online course will give you everything you need to get started on the right foot. Again, we are so proud to partner with the Herzog Foundation, and we encourage you to explore all their amazing tools and the insights that they offer. So go ahead, visit herzogfoundation.com to learn more. You won't want to miss these incredible resources. Again, find it all out at herzogfoundation.com.
First of all, this hole is beautiful. This is one of the fishing holes. We've caught several fish in here. Nice. But yeah, I mean, this is 18, so this is where it all wraps up.
Woo!
At the end. And yeah, then you are here looking at the beautiful clubhouse and ballroom behind us.
Wow. Yeah. I think of President Trump, and I know everyone asks you this question. What would you say about President Trump that no one knows? I mean, I've heard this 100 times with these questions with you, and I know you said he's funny and he's caring, and just some of the things that you said, he's so kind. When I've met him just about 6 or 7 times with Moms for America, Mar-a-Lago, the podcast, some different things, he's always been complimentary. Mm-hmm. You look great, beautiful color, you know, you're doing a good job. You know, even my husband, he met my husband, I was like, you better take care of her. I mean, he's just very complimentary. And it kind of is, I shouldn't say surprising, but he's...
Well, it's surprising because people, the legacy media out there and the people who like to paint him in the way they want,
right,
would have you believe that that version of Donald Trump doesn't
right.
exist. It exists all the time, and right. anyone who spends any time around him knows how much he really cares about people. You know, I remember we were getting ready, we were doing a debate prep session. This is during the 2024 campaign cycle, which he hates debate prep, hated it always, which he probably is just better off anyway, like just let him go.
Is there prep with him?
Well,
no, I just want to know if there really is.
Debate prep, we can put it in air quotes. But we were all gathered at Mar-a-Lago. You know, I was the co-chair of the party at the time. And so sure. I was there with the whole team of people. And he walked in and he saw all of us sitting there and he goes, oh, wait a minute. Have you guys eaten? Hold on. I want to make sure everybody's taken care of. Do you like shrimp cocktail? Do you like this? Oh. He went in the kitchen and he ordered all of us food. And before we even did the first bit of debate prep, now he could have been stalling.
Right.
But he made sure that everybody ate and had what they needed. And he just,
I love that.
He really cares so much about the people around him. I've seen it, you know, on our trip to China on Air Force One. He literally walked around the whole plane to make sure everybody had what they needed. Meanwhile, there are people on there whose job it is to do that, but he's ever kind of the host, and hospitality mm-hmm. is sort of baked in to his DNA. And it's amazing, because that's the side you don't hear about. That's the side you don't see, but I do wish more people knew that Donald Trump existed, because that's who he is.
He sure is. Now, you were only married, what, like 6 months before he announced he's going to... I mean, no training, no, I mean, how does everybody prepare for such a thing?
Well, we were thrown in the deep end and we had to figure it out, basically.
Yeah.
We all kind of sat down as a family. This is probably, I'm going to say a week before the famous escalator ride. Now, we knew that he'd been kind of considering it and talking mm-hmm. about it. And he had people who he'd brought around who were a little different, we hadn't seen before. But he sat us all down and he told us all that this was something he really wanted to do.
Yeah.
And he had such interesting perspective in that moment based on what we now know has happened to him and really our entire family. And I would also say anyone in the conservative movement,
right.
Which is that he said, you know what, kids, I'm going to do this and I want to do this. But I want you to know, if I do this the right way, they're going to come after me and they're going to come after you guys.
Right. They sure did.
And I need you guys to prepare for that. And I don't think any of us could have predicted any of this.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, we all just said we're on, you know, on board. We're ready to go with whatever. And very quickly, he also said, we're going to find out who our true friends are.
Oh.
And very quickly, that became sort of immediately what we realized is that there are people who abandoned us from day one.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It's been just a kind of a wild ride ever since then. But look, I would say that you could say a lot of things about our family, which a lot of people do.
Sure do.
There's no daylight between any of us and our family. We are incredibly close. And this process, as awful as it's been at certain times, has only made us stronger as a family. And so from that very first day,
I bet,
up until now, We're here for the ride, and we're here, you know, on the team, and so honored by it, honestly.
Yeah, well, speaking of that, there are some loyal supporters that we thought of President Trump now are front and center with different messaging, negative messaging about the president. And from our perspective, it's really hard as folks that have been, you know, fans of them, fans of President Trump, to see this division happening in very big platforms.
Yes.
What? How does your family handle? I know how President Trump handles it, but he's
right out there in front telling you what he thinks of it.
How do you handle things like that? Because, you know, I guess you can't ever get your feelings hurt, because then you would just be ever a victim. But what happens with things like this? I mean,
it's very hard. It's why, you know, I think our circle of friends is incredibly small.
Yeah.
The people with whom we surround ourselves, it's a very tight knit group of people.
Yeah.
But even then, you know, people can kind of let you down in that sense. I will say to those people in particular, they know exactly what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's disgusting. And I think it's disgraceful. And any effort to try to sow division within a group of people who love this country so deeply, I think is really sad. And I would bet that at the end of the day, if you really dug deep into why they're doing this, there's really only kind of one reason, which is, or maybe two, money and attention.
Mm.
People who at one time maybe had a huge platform and got a lot of attention are no longer getting that attention, and maybe that's what they're seeking. Maybe people are funding some of this commentary, which they themselves know is insane.
Yeah.
But it's sad to see, and I don't think it does anything to help our country.
No.
What I will say is I don't think it's effective. And I don't think that the average Trump voter out there buys into any of it. And I would advise that they all stay strong in their support of this president. This is a person who said, the first time I ever remember us sitting down talking about it, one of the other things he said is, you know what, guys, if I get one term in office, mm-hmm. but that one term I do what is necessary, that's all we want to do. We want to do the right thing for this country. That's still the man that's in office. He's fighting for America every day. And we have to stick together. We've got midterms to win.
Yeah.
We want
big year
four,
coming.
Yeah, we want 4 years of President mm-hmm. Trump being an effective leader in this country. And so those people I find very sad.
Yeah. It's really tough to watch.
Yeah.
Melania, our first lady, she's doing some amazing initiatives
yes.
for moms and for families. Tell us a little bit about Melania. We haven't had a chance to, we've been at events with her, but we really haven't had a chance to sit down with her. So,
I mean, she's a remarkable woman.
She's
you know, you
stunning,
think
yeah.
you think about what she has. It's funny because you look at the presidency, and I don't think you're ever going to see a normal campaign ever again. Donald Trump has totally changed that. He's changed what it means to be a politician, quite frankly.
Sure has.
I think she's changed the role of First Lady. I think she has taken it upon herself to kind of venture into areas where she's very powerful, where people want to hear her voice.
Yeah.
She's done something that I think is very smart, which is that sometimes whenever you're not out there all the time,
yeah.
when you do go out there,
oh.
man, people pay attention.
Sure.
And so she's really kind of done incredible things on that front. But what she's doing, championing, you know, families and children, mm-hmm. I think the things with AI and social media are
yeah.
hugely important. As a mom myself, I can tell you I am concerned every day about
oh.
what's going to happen. How
Absolutely.
Do we prevent, you know, these people from blackmailing kids on social media online?
And the deep fakes and whatever.
It's
yeah.
terrifying. And
it
so
is, yeah.
the things that she has kind of taken upon herself to
yeah.
bring, you know, light to and to focus on, I think are so important to so many American families. But, you know, you think about coming from another country, becoming an American citizen, marrying into this family. English is not your first language. She
right.
speaks like six different languages. She's really incredible. And then being kind of thrust into this position, I think she's remarkable. And, you know, it's so fun whenever we all finally get together as a family, which we don't do nearly enough. I feel like a lot of families feel like that, though.
Yeah.
But when we're all together, it's so nice to just kind of be a family again
yeah.
and to, you know, sit down with her and every time we're at the White House, you know, she's kind of already planned everything out, all the menus and stuff.
Amazing.
And so she's great. She's great.
Yeah.
We're so lucky to have her as our first lady.
Yeah. And again, just a lot of, she's in a tough position, but a great position.
Yes.
And she has stood strong, you know, and she's really been a great model for all of us. And to that AI summit and all the different initiatives that she's doing, she's invited Moms for America to be there.
Amazing.
I mean, we've been at those events and been a kind of like a participant in the audience. And same thing with the White House. Laura, we were at White House events, I think, 56 times
wow.
last year.
That's amazing.
So, and that's the thing about President Trump that I want to say, too. Talk about bringing, you know, the organizations in and the different variety of this landscape of America. He's bringing them to the White House.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the people's house there.
Well, and it's sort of how he's always operated. You know,
yeah.
there's this talking point that the left loves to use. Oh, Donald Trump is the dictator type vibe, whatever, this
right.
crazy stuff they put out there. He couldn't be farther from that. He wants the opinion of everyone in the room when he makes a decision. Now, he makes the ultimate decision, but he likes to hear from everybody, and
yeah.
no different when it comes to kind of deciding what the best path forward is for
yeah.
America on a whole host of fronts. He
mm-hmm.
wants to hear from the people. You know, those are
yeah.
those are the people who put him in the White House, and he very much wants to deliver on the promises he made and ensure that everything he's doing is going to benefit people's lives. And so if
yeah.
people come to him and they say, no, sir, this is not working, this isn't hurting my family in this way, he immediately
mm-hmm.
says, okay, well, let's reconfigure. So it's not surprising, actually,
yeah.
to hear that he's involved so many different groups who
it's
probably haven't really ever had a seat at the table, but no. With this president, they absolutely do.
We sure have. We're very grateful. All right, let's talk a little bit about normal life. You say you try to give your kids a normal life. Now that we've talked about all this,
yeah.
How do you balance all that? How do we go from, you know, dropping the kids off to training? I saw your training videos. I'm like rope climbing, CrossFit,
yeah.
Everything. And then to host the show.
Yeah, well, listen, you just try to fit it all in. I feel like, I will say I am grateful for my parents and the way they raised me.
Yes,
because
so important.
No, it's everything.
It's your foundation.
And I am an incredibly grounded person who has never forgotten where I came from. And I want my kids to have that same feeling. You know, I want them to be normal kids as much as possible. You know, we do all the sports. They're on normal sports teams. We're not doing anything weird. I'm just trying to give them the best childhood possible. While at the same time making memories with yeah. grandpa and going to events that one day they'll look back and say, oh my gosh, I was at the White House Easter egg roll. Like yeah. I got to do that
front
as
and
a
center.
Kid. But yeah. we just try to keep it normal the rest of the time and, you know, order pizza and do normal family
yeah.
stuff like I did growing up. And so I think it's very important to both me and to Eric that our kids grow up not only appreciating who their grandpa is and knowing what a great figure in history he is, but also just being kids and
yeah.
being normal American kids who love this country and who are proud to be Americans.
Right, and again, the parents set the stage for the kids, so mm-hmm. if they feel like they're normal,
yeah.
they will be normal.
That's
you know,
it.
They're a Trump, but you know,
absolutely,
they've got a different life. That God's called them to a different life, and you'll just make it as comfortable and easy as possible. What are you going to do with devices? I've heard you talk a little bit
yeah.
about this, and this is constantly what everyone's trying to figure out. Well, how do we raise kids in this new world of technology? How do we stop addictions and phones and all of the scary world?
It's terrifying.
Your guys are just coming up into this.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually grateful that my kids are as young as they are because
yeah.
I still have full control over what happens
Absolutely.
With them.
Yeah.
And that full control means we have no devices.
Good for
my
you.
My kids have none. No iPad, no iPhone, nothing.
Good for you.
You know, Eric and I were at one time, about a year ago, we said, okay, if you have a great day at school and you finish all your homework and we get back from sports, you can have 15 mm. minutes on the iPad. And then our son actually got in trouble. And we said, oh, you guys are a team. So the team loses the iPad for 2 weeks now. And it's so funny because for the first 5 days, they both were like, oh, we want the iPad. About a week into it, they kind of forgot the iPad existed. And Eric and I looked at each other. We said, we're never giving this back.
Yes.
We're throwing that thing in the trash. We're done with that. And it's very challenging. You know, I am not much of a person who likes to see regulation burdening people's lives or over-regulation to any extent. I do think in this space, I hear from moms especially mm-hmm. who say, mm-hmm. we actually like what has happened in Australia and France, where there is an age ban. You cannot have a social media account until you're 15 or 16 years old. And I've actually talked to the president about this several times, and I think it's something that he's seriously considering and mm-hmm. that, you know, we are in kind of uncharted territory. What is this
sure.
going to do to young kids' minds? You look at the fact that mm-hmm. just looking at a screen boosts their dopamine and all of their mm-hmm. feel-good chemicals in their body to such a level that you can't replicate that doing anything
right.
else. And
they
so
create the addiction. They
we're setting
want
them up
you to
for,
be addicted.
Yeah, we're setting them up for a lifetime of having to be on these devices constantly.
Yeah.
So if we can prevent that by a couple of years, Eric and I are committed to that very much.
Absolutely. In fact, we did a couple of shows on this too, that if you bring that, now you have to decide when you have a baby, you have to decide you're going to bring it in. Because, you know, a lot of moms are like, should the baby be on it at 1 or 2?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it becomes literally like another person in the house, and it becomes a barter. Were
mm-hmm.
you good? Were you bad? And so if you can hold that off
yep.
as far as you can from here on out to heavens, it
yeah.
is really the best for the home.
Well, and two, I would also say that I know it's hard when
yeah.
you go out to dinner with your kids. I see a lot of kids
yeah.
out at restaurants on phones, and I get it. It's very easy to just hand
sure
the phone
is.
Over, and then mom and dad can have a conversation. But Eric and I made a conscious decision from day one. We were never
yeah.
going to give our kids a device at any restaurant.
Absolutely.
And I think it's been amazing because the conversations we have whenever we sit down at the table with our kids, whether it's at home or out, it's remarkable the things that we talk about. And they're getting that interpersonal communication that I think there's probably a generation of Americans totally lacking who have no idea how to communicate face-to-face because they haven't had to, because they sit down and they pick up a phone wherever they are. So I think, you know, it's incumbent upon us as the parents to set those parameters to ensure that, it's a little more challenging.
It sure is.
But sometimes that's the best path. Like I said, sometimes that's what I do. I take the harder path sometimes.
Right. And I always say this to moms too. I'm like, well, I made it. Coloring books, action figures. You just put them in a bag.
Exactly.
And they have, just a great time there. And, you know, it is. It's something that you don't see anymore because everyone is just addicted to the phone. So I know a lot of moms are really struggling with this. So we hope that's some encouraging advice. All right. Fitness. You have made this a part of your life forever.
Yeah.
Because you're really quite inspiring for all of us. Not that we're ever going to get here with these muscles you've got.
Thank you. No, that's so nice. I mean, it's how I grew up. You know, both of my parents were into fitness growing up and are still to this day. My dad still plays full court basketball. He's almost 80 years old.
No way.
Yeah. And my mom works out, you know, multiple days a week.
But no, I got to go hang out with your mom and get some tips from me.
So I grew up kind of seeing this. And obviously I played so many sports growing up and my brother too. So it's sort of kind of been a constant in my life. And I'm really grateful that it was introduced to me early on because, you know, going and getting a workout in a lot of times for me is maybe the only time of the day that everyone's leaving me alone, that I'm alone with my thoughts.
Yeah,
that I'm
when you're climbing that rope, no one else is with you.
No one's with me.
Like, no way.
But it's important. It's important to set time aside for ourselves. And if I get even, you know, 30 minutes or an hour a day, and that is, it's almost as much physical as it is mental for me to do it. And so it's been a priority for me. And I will say, I think maybe I've rubbed off a little on my husband because he's at the gym full time now, six days a week. And so it's a good thing. And you know what I also see is my kids want to emulate both of us, you know, or that's how it happens. Kids want to be like their parents. And so they'll come with me sometimes to the CrossFit gym on a Saturday morning. Or they always ask, Dad, can we go with you to the gym? Can we go work out? Mom, when can I come with you on a bike ride?
Mm-hmm.
That's
awesome. Contagious.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
it is. And
really
what
good.
A great way to set kids up for the future.
I love it. What about your show? Do you love doing your show?
I do.
Oh, my
I feel
goodness.
So
fun.
Thank you. I have a great time. And it's funny because when I officially said, all right, let's do this with Fox, and they said, all right, we're going to sign you, and you're going to have your own show. And I was so excited. And in my mind, somebody at Fox was going to be like, all right, here's what the show is going to be. Here's how it's going to run every week. And we'll just kind of, you know, set it up for you.
Yeah, we'll produce it for you.
Yeah, that is the opposite of what happened, actually.
Yeah.
They literally said to me, what do you want this show to be? And I said, oh, my gosh, I get to decide this. This is amazing. And
because you have a background in television.
Yeah, I do, but you know, then it becomes very personal.
Yeah.
And then, like, if
it's got to be good.
So I was so impressed that they gave me that opportunity. I said, you know what? I want it to be different. I want to bring people inside of who is actually making the decision on this thing in Washington, D.C. Who are the people who are affecting our lives? And obviously, I have a great opportunity to do that now. So I have the best time. Yeah, I'm so lucky.
Oh, so fun. Okay, music, another thing. are you playing? Do you get a chance to play the piano? It's so beautiful.
As often as
I wish there was
a
piano here.
Oh my gosh, me too. Because I just worked on this weekend. I actually got about like 10 minutes to sit down and try to teach myself a new song, which I usually don't get time to do.
And that's got to be an escape in a good way. Just a moment to kind of breathe.
And anyone who plays a musical instrument, I think, will tell you it triggers a certain part of your brain that it's very calming, actually.
Yeah.
Even if I sit down for 5 minutes and just play the piano very quickly, kind of walk away from it just like, I can relax now. But I love it. You know, I'm definitely right-brained. I love drawing. I love, you know, music and all of that. And so I wish I had more time. But I'll tell you, both of my kids, I have doing piano lessons.
Okay, I figured.
And I vividly remember when I was a kid and my parents put me in piano lessons, thinking to myself, you know what? I hate taking these lessons every week. But one day, if I'm able to just sit down at a piano and start to play, it'll be worth it. And here we are. So fun.
What about singing? Yeah. You gonna do any more songs?
Listen, I had...
How fun.
No, it's so fun. That's fun. I am a person who never wants to look back on my life and say, what if?
Right.
And so when I had an opportunity to record some music, yeah, I said, you know what? I know people
I'm
will
not
come
gonna back
for
down.
Me. Yeah, I know I'll get criticized.
I won't back down from that.
But you know what? It's been so fun and something so different, and I've really enjoyed all of it. And so we'll see. I don't have anything right now planned, but you never say never. So we'll never see what happens.
Especially with you, because I've heard people say to you, you're going to run for office, you could be this. And you say, I don't know. I may.
I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe.
We'll see.
Okay.
Whatever God puts in front of me,
yeah,
whatever door he opens for me, I try to walk through. So we'll see what happens.
All right. Last two questions. What's it like, if you had a night off with the kids and with Eric, what's a great family night for you? What do you guys love to do together?
So actually, one of the things we really have fun doing together that I feel like we haven't done it in so long, we keep talking
about
it. Okay,
now you're going to have to do it.
We got to do it. We love to go fishing. Yeah,
nice.
So we live on a golf course in Florida, and we live on a golf course in New York during the summer, and there are fish in all the ponds. So we kind of go from pond to pond. This has been kind of a long time we've done this. And my son simultaneously likes to fish out golf balls at the same time, which then he cleans and tries to resell to people.
Catch a fish and a golf ball.
Yes, definitely Donald okay. Trump's grandson, an entrepreneur at heart. So, yeah, we love to do that. I mean, we just love to, honestly, one of my favorite nights is we'll go to this little pizza restaurant. They have a whole outdoor area. Eric and I will sit. The kids will run around and play. Then when the pizza comes, they come and eat. And it's just like, it's great because we all get to be together. The kids have fun together. It's one of those things where, I think about all the time, if my kids were there with a phone, they wouldn't be out there. They'll take a football or something and throw it around. But they're out having fun together, making memories as siblings. My husband and I have an opportunity to connect, which is very important, and you have to do.
Do you get date nights at all?
We force date
you
nights.
Do.
It's hard because, so many people kind of come into our orbit, and they're people we really enjoy being around. And every now and again, we'll have a night that Eric and I have said, okay, this is our designated date night of the week.
Good for you.
Sometimes we plan it like 3 weeks out, but we look at our schedules and we try to plan it. And if that person just happens to show up in town and say, oh, hey, you guys want to get dinner? We're both like, we're not going to get dinner with them. We had a planned date night. And I think it's important because it's so easy day to day to kind of get lost in all of it and to lose the foundation of your family, which I really think is the relationship that
mom
and dad
have. Especially
so busy. Yeah.
Well, especially all the travel.
All of it. And so I think we have to prioritize that, and we do.
Good for you.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the president, he does call you probably spontaneously and say, could you go to China with us?
We may or may not have gotten a couple calls about going to China. He always likes to encourage me to get involved in things going on in North Carolina, my home state, for sure. But yeah, whether it's for my Fox show, whether I have a clothing line as well.
Yes.
Yeah, fitness clothing line. So I have to travel some for that. There's always stuff going on. And then Eric and I are like, when are we going to go on a vacation? All we do is travel for work. One day we have to actually go on a vacation, which sadly, I kind of think our trip to Beijing was semi-vacation for the two of us.
Or maybe your vacation, right? Maybe your vacation is just staying home.
That's usually what happens. We both look at each other and we say, okay, whenever we have some time off, we just want to be at home with the kids, with the dogs, hanging out and being together. So that's usually what happens, which is great.
We're doing a great job, Laura.
Thank you.
All right, last question. It's America's 250th anniversary. At this moment in time, for moms that are watching, how do we restore patriotism? How do we renew hope in our country, and especially in our home?
Yeah.
Because it's tough right now, but yet we have so much to be thankful for. And America's heritage and its history is amazing. How do you do that with your kids, and how should we do that this year with America's 250?
Well, I think we have to. I think it's so fundamental to the future of this country. You know, if you don't grow up loving our country, you'll never fight for our country. This country is, kind of doomed to go down the wrong path if people are not willing to stand up and fight for the country we've had for 250 years. And, for us, I feel like we try to, at every opportunity, infuse something into our children, whether it's every night we do prayers with our kids, but the first thing we do is actually the Pledge of Allegiance before they go to bed every night.
I love that.
And we kind of talk about the history of what it means and what do those words actually mean and why is it important, and kind of teaching them little bits of history, whether it's got to do with grandpa or whether it's really old history of America and great things that this country has done. I mean, they're young, so it is challenging, but I think celebrating and seeing their parents celebrate is very important, mm-hmm. this country. And, you know, I think we have to continue to teach the real history of America to our children. It's not a perfect history.
Right.
America has grown leaps and bounds. We have come a long way in 250 years, but there is really no place on earth where you can find the freedom mm-hmm. that we have here. There's no place on earth where it doesn't matter where you start. You are limited solely by how big your dreams are and how much you're willing to work for those dreams.
So true.
And I think continuing to talk to children about that and telling them that there is no limit to what you can do in this country, you can be whatever you want to be, is really important. And we have to do it for our own children, but for children everywhere. Yeah. And I think that, you know, that's going to be fundamental to the future success of this country.
Yeah, and that's it. You know, obviously empowering moms, promoting liberty, and raising patriots.
Yes.
At Moms for America, that's what we want to do. We want to raise those kids that love God, family, country, because those are our next leaders, just like your children and my kids. So thank you, Laura.
You're so welcome.
Wasn't that fabulous? Thanks for joining us on the Moms for America podcast.
Thank you very much. What an honor.
Really great. So thank you. It was wonderful.
Thanks.
All right.
Here we go.
The interview is over and she's out.
I got my basket.
All of her favorite things.
Yay. Thank you.
Okay.
So great.
Safe travels to you guys.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
A special thank you to our sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of the Herzog Foundation.